Thank you, Brother Andrew. Good morning, everybody. If y'all would, please turn with me to Matthew 12. This exhortation that I want to offer this morning is, I've done it some time ago, but it's been a while at another place, so it may sound familiar to some of y'all, but I guess I've had to put a title on it, it would have to be The Family of God. We're going to read Matthew 12, verses 46 through 50. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood outside, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand outside, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them, to him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. And really, verse 50 is the one I want to focus on this morning. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my mother and my sister, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother. I want to begin by asking the question, do we realize what a close relationship to which our Master has invited us? When we consider these verses here, do we realize what a close relationship this invitation engenders? Is it not an invitation to a relationship as a member of the immediate household? An invitation to be a son of God. Truly, we are invited to such a close relationship in these words. Brother Thomas speaks of this as being, speaks of being a son of God as an inestimable honor. We cannot really put a value on it. It's invaluable. And truly it is. To what other honor or goodness would we be able to compare it? There's none. I can think of none, and perhaps hopefully none of you can. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes for a moment. Ecclesiastes 1, and consider some of the words of Solomon. Ecclesiastes 1, 13 and 14. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Now this is but a contrast to the invaluable honor or inestimable honor as being considered sons of God when we compare the things that are done under the sun, as Solomon says here. But perhaps this thought is one of those which is hard for us to appreciate how grand and how delightful this invitation is which we have received. This is an invitation for which we should be willing to put all other things aside in order to keep it. It is one of those things with many aspects to it, and we need to consider it daily. We need to reflect upon it daily. We need to meditate upon it always, that our minds may be exercised in order that we may try to not let this great blessing and honor which we have been invited to slip from us, but let it sink in. Once it begins to lodge within us, it helps us to conform our lives to the kind of lives which the Heavenly Father desires of us according to our understanding of the Scriptures. Brothers and sisters, if we have hope in Christ, we most certainly have all there is that can be desired, at least as far as our own welfare is concerned. There are others without this hope that we have, that we assuredly would love to see them have it and have the opportunity. And perhaps even some of them have had the opportunity but turned from it. For it is truly an invitation to all. But if we have this hope, we are told that we are lacking for anything. We are not lacking for anything. As time rolls on, day by day, we are brought nearer to the time when we shall stand before the Judge, our Lord and Master of the whole earth. And it behooves us to take the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, as we are admonished to do from the words of the Hebrews, and to examine ourselves whether we be in the faith. As we meet together week after week, as we do today, to show the Lord's death until He come, the injunction to watch, therefore, should be ever present with us, so that at His coming we may be able to stand before the Son of Man. In order to do this, it is necessary to apply the searchlight of divine truth to our every thought and our every action. Every loophole and corner should be minutely examined for traces of the enemy that may be lurking there and endeavoring to devour and gain an entrance so as to divert our attention from the things present and from things future. One searching glance, though, is not enough. Turn with me to James 1. James kind of compares it thusly. James 1, 23 and 24. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For behold, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and immediately forgetteth what manner of man he was. One searching glance is not sufficient, though it may lay bare the innermost things in the recesses of our heart. He says here, for he beholdeth himself, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. We need constant and daily consideration and meditation, as we said earlier, upon the things of God. Let's also consider something in contrast to this with in Luke 12. Turn with me to Luke 12. For if we're not daily and constantly meditating upon these things, if our heart is not exercised thereby, we won't be found waiting and watching till He comes. But in Luke 12, verses 35 through 39, we are encouraged here to say, it says, let your loins be girded about and your lamps burning. And ye yourselves like men that wait for their Lord when He will return from the wedding, that when He cometh and knocketh, they may open unto Him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to eat, and will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. I really wanted to focus on verse 39 here. And this know, that if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have permitted his house to be broken through. Not knowing, he doubtless had confidence in himself and considered his property secure, or perhaps his salvation. But the thief came through and broke through into his house. As the thief without warning creeps stealthily upon and carries away his plunder. So the Son of Man, when he cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then continuing on in verse 40, let's consider how important then it is, the admonition of verse 40. It says, be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Now, notwithstanding the distracting thoughts which sometimes possess us all, that is, the cares of this life and worries of everyday life, this thought should ever be with us. Am I ready? Am I a child of righteousness or light? Or am I a child of darkness or wickedness? We know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, as we are also told in 1 Thessalonians 5. But verse 6 tells us, let us watch and be sober. If that day overtake us as a thief, of what value think we will our knowledge be to us then? Undoubtedly, knowledge is power. But unless the power is applied, it remains unproductive. And as without faith it is impossible to please God, so also faith, the result of knowledge, without works, the result of applied power, is dead. And we understand that, those things from James 2, verse 17, 20, and 26. This does not imply that we can, by our own works, purchase or give an equivalent for divine favor. Turn with me to, let's stay right there in Luke, but turn over to Luke 17. We're going to read verses 7 to 10. Luke 17, verses 7 to 10. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him when he has come from the field, go and sit down to eat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready that with which I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So ye also, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded of you, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. So, when we do all that we have done that which is our duty to do, and are at best still unprofitable servants. Having faith in the declaration of God and to his accomplishments in the past and his promises of the future and a future glory to his obedient children, the resultant work or works is a manifestation of our appreciation of his goodness and mercy towards us, or it should be. And just in proportion as this appreciation increases or decreases, so will we be prepared or unprepared, watching for, or maybe forgetful, of the coming of him who to the watching and waiting will be the Lamb of God, but to the careless and indifferent, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. To the one he brings joy and peace, life and incorruptibility, and a place in his kingdom. To the other, punishment and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, followed by death. And so as we close, where do we stand? Is our house built upon a rock? Is our family secure and grounded in the truth? is our family of God here as an ecclesia. Are we built upon that rock? The rock is the symbol who we remember this morning in these emblems. If it is not, whose fault is it? It is surely our own. It cannot be God's. We are told in 1 Thessalonians 5, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, and whom we remember this morning." So in closing, I'd like to read Ephesians. If y'all turn with me over to Ephesians. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 17. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." That concludes my remarks. We'll have the memorial hymn.